Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always accepted in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. On Friday night, we celebrated the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, when God was made man. Up until the birth of Jesus, no one saw God, not even Moses. God came to earth because man had become rebellious to the law God gave them. From the time Moses led his people across the Red Sea until the birth of Jesus, people have never been satisfied with what God was doing for them. People have always wanted more, and quite frankly, they still do. People love to be in control. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments so that we have some basic rules to live by. The first four are on how to love God, and the next six are on how to love each other. In Luke's story of Christmas, are all the familiar details we love to hear and read at Christmas. There is the story of the manger, of the young woman who was about to give birth, and of course the shepherds in the field watching their flocks. Let's not forget the three wise men who show up quite later. We never get tired of this gospel story. Now, when John wrote his gospel, he took a completely different approach from what the other gospel writers did. John began his account of Christmas with three simple but important words: in the beginning. In other words, John did not start with the birth of Jesus in a stable in Bethlehem, because Jesus has always been in the beginning, way before anything else existed, such as houses, villages, roads, etc. Jesus was with his Father in heaven. Through him all things were made. Nothing was made without him. We say these words when we recite the Nicene Creed, one of our basic tenets of being Anglicans. John wanted his readers to know that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God from eternity. John called Jesus the Word for a reason. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was fully human just like us. This summarizes for us what Christmas is all about, the Word. Jesus was chosen to become human and live among us. This is a concept that many 2,000 years ago had trouble understanding, and the same can be said for today. The idea that Jesus was in heaven with his Father and the Holy Spirit and then came down to us in the form of a little baby is amazing. Now, about 6 months before Jesus was born, another person named John was born to his parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah. You may remember that John's parents were not young like Mary, who was a cousin to Elizabeth. In Luke's gospel, we're told that an angel came to Zechariah while he was in the temple to burn incense and promised him a son. Zechariah was amazed and could not believe that his wife, who was up in years much like Sarah was when she conceived Isaac. Because Zechariah did not believe, he became mute until time John was circumcised and was given his name 7 days after he was born. At the circumcision rite, everyone assumed that the baby would be named after his father, which was the usual course taken. But Elizabeth spoke up and said, "No, his name will be John." The people motioned to Zechariah, and he motioned for a tablet, and they brought to him. Immediately, his mouth was open, and he spoke and gave praise to God. Shortly thereafter, Zechariah said the Benedictus, or the Song of Zechariah, that you can find on page 19 of the Book of Common Prayer. We read this when we do morning prayer. Jesus likewise was circumcised and given his name 7 days after his birth, and the church celebrates this occasion on January 1st. John's purpose in life was to proclaim the good news of Jesus' coming. He was a messenger who was told to make crooked roads straight. Here he is quoting from Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5. "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. What Isaiah is telling us is here is that making straight the highway in the wilderness was to remove obstacles and roll out the carpet for our Lord. The desert is symbolic of life's trials and sufferings. John was challenging his hearers to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. In Luke's gospel, we're told that John was to go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. We too as Christians are to reflect the light of Christ in our daily lives. John came into the world to prepare the way for Jesus to proclaim the good news. He was a messenger. We too are messengers of the good news. John was a messenger because the Israelites were sinners, and they should repent and be baptized. John baptized with water because he was unable to take away their sins. He was able to wash their bodies, but not their hearts. John, by his preaching, was a forerunner of Jesus, and by him baptizing, he also became a forerunner, using his symbol of a future sacrament. John wanted the Israelite people to be ready for Jesus, so that he might be made known to them. Many of those who heard John thought because they were descendants of Abraham, they were saved. John told them that was not enough. They needed to produce good fruit. Good fruits are doing good things for our neighbors. Our neighbors are those who live next door on the next road, and those we meet and see in stores and other places. The crowd asked John what they must do. He told them that if they had two coats, they should share one, and if anyone had extra food, they should share it. These are some of the good fruits we should be doing. As I mentioned in the past regarding the Ten Commandments, the first four were on how to love God, and the last six on how we are to love our neighbor. Jesus added two new commandments in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. By us being messengers and doing good works for our neighbor, we're helping them to know Christ. Doing good works could be opening the door for someone at a store, praying for someone, volunteering someplace such as a local food bank, teaching Sunday school, giving clothes to the Salvation Army. There are many ways we can become messengers. As I've said many times in my sermons, to quote St. Francis of Assisi, proclaim the gospel, and if necessary, use words. In a few days, we'll begin the start of a new year and a time for new beginnings. Some folks may be starting retirement or even a new job. Some may even start a new diet to lose some of those pounds gained from Thanksgiving and Christmas feast. None of us will be starting a new year alone, not if we believe in Jesus Christ, because he promised us that he will be with us every day of our lives. In this dark world, he brings his light of truth and love to us all. Jesus promised us life, eternal life. In a world where the past often haunts us because of our past transgressions, he chooses to forgive us our past and presents us a future that is filled with his grace and love. What a great gift that is. Let us always pray the prayer from Hebrews chapter 13. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equipped you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.